Okay, we are in the book of Isaiah. Now, we are not going to talk about the history or geography or things like that, because we are just thinking about spiritual matters. Isaiah worked with many kings, and his message, he talks about the birth of Christ and the suffering of Jesus Christ, and many good prophecies are given in the book of Isaiah. Here in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1 and chapter 2, we see God is telling them what's going to happen in the end times and how these children are drifted away, but God wants them to come back to Him. Okay, let's read verse 1.
The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me.
Now here, when he's giving message, he's saying, oh, listen, O heaven and earth. That means when he's giving the message, this message is coming from God. And he is telling everyone who is listening to him. When you're giving the message, that message has to be proved by God. But God is listening what you're giving the message, and the listeners are going to listen what God is giving message. So here the word of God is saying, I am giving this message. You should listen because you are all rebellious people. You are not listening to God. You are not understanding the will of God. Isaiah is trying to say, if you listen carefully what God is telling you, your life will be much better. Let's read the verse 3.
The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider.
Now he is giving an example about animals. He says ox and donkey. These animals, they understand the master. And they understand where they're supposed to go and stand after their work and where their places are, and they will go and stand. If you have the animals, you will know. And we had the farmer, we had so many animals, bulls and goats and things like that. We didn't have a donkey, but we had so many other animals. But in the evening, evening comes, you don't have to tell them to go home. Exactly 5 or 6 o'clock, they will start running to home. And when they come home, they will stand right everyone's places, because there, after coming there also, they will be a little bit giving them feeding. So they will stand exactly where they're supposed to. We don't have to tell, this is not your place, this is your place. Each and every bull, each and every animal will stand exactly where we tie them. So from that he says, they understand what the master's will is. And the donkey understands where he supposed to go and stand and eat his food. But my people do not understand me. That means we are worse than animal. That's what he's trying to say, verse 4.
Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward.
Now in one word he says, you are backslidden. When the backslidden person does everything sinful activities, they don't have fear of God. Here he's saying, you are evildoers, your children and children, they are all doing the same thing. And then you have lost the fear of God, lost the respect of God, and now you are backslidden people. Verse 5.
Why should he be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointments.
Now here is saying you are sick, sick in your head, sick in your body. And he says the sickness starts from their foot. The foot is taking you different places. The bar, the sinful activities. So your food is taking you, and you are not listening to your heart or listening to God, listening to your mind, and you are going astray. And because of that, your feet are diseased, like broken toes and broken bodies, and that have infections and is ruined and is not healing. That's what it says, because of your sin. Sickness and disease comes because of sin. The feet are wounded and bleeding and not getting healed. He said, not only that, you are not concerned. You are not putting any oil, or you are not soothing your feet. You are not concerned how you are destroying yourself. Some people are careless. They don't care. And that's what he's saying. Your life is worse. Your feet is completely destroyed. And now it poison is going backward to your head and to your heart. Wound or anything, and it's become affected, or some kind of poisonous, and that poison goes to your heart and you can die. So he is saying there is no healing for your body. Your body is not healing. You're not taking care of your body. That means you are going to die. And that's the way people are careless, not taking care of their body. Simple thing can kill you if you don't take care of your body. Okay, verse 7.
Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devoured in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah.
Enemies are coming, burning your cities, burning your villages, and destroying everything. Your vineyard, your gardens, and cucumbers, and fruits and vegetables you do, they are all gone, and there is no prosperity. And you are having lots of problems. And when I look at you, you look like Sodom and Gomorrah. That means so much sin you are committing. And God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah. But it says God did not destroy you yet, because God still loves these people, and the remnant of Israel's people were saved. Okay, please read further.
Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats.
Your life is very sinful. You're worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. And God still loves you, and God kept you alive. But here is saying your sins are multiplied so much. Your life is corrupted. Same time people bring sacrifices. Sometimes people live very bad life. They go to bar Monday through Saturday, live life like a very bad life. And Sunday they come with a three-piece suit, Bible in their hand, praise the Lord, and people say, wow, this person is very holy. But God knows your heart. Here God is saying, you're trying to bring me sacrifice, you're trying to be nice, but I have seen your heart is corrupted. Your whole body is corrupted, and I'm not delighting in your sacrifice. Because what God wants, God does not want your sacrifice. God wants your obedience. God wants your heart. If our heart is belong to God, then God rejoices in us. God delights in us. Your life is corrupted, and if you bring the sacrifice, I am not delighted. You can bring the blood offering, the goat's offering. I don't care what you bring. I don't like it. Go to the Isaiah chapter 66, verse 3.
He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations.
Can you imagine? Your offering is worthless and much more worse. So he says, if you bring those kind of offering, God is not pleased. God doesn't need those kind of offering. Amos chapter 5, verses 21 to 25. Please read.
I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols. But let judgment run down its waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel?
See what God is saying? I don't want your offering. Don't bring your offering. He says, you are in the wilderness for 40 years. Did you bring any offerings? That means God doesn't want offering of the sinners. He wants your heart. When we learn last week that God doesn't need any sacrifice, God doesn't need any offering, so in the millennium, there won't be any sacrifice. There won't be any offerings, because God is not pleased with the offering. And God knew the end from the beginning, because he was going to sacrifice his son on the cross. That's why this offering were pointing towards Christ. So he was not looking at their present sacrifice, what they were giving, because he was looking at the sacrifice his son was going to give. Because each and every year they have to do the Passover. And the Passover, they have to kill the lamb. And the Passover started before they left the Egypt. But the God says, now Jesus Christ is our Passover. Please read the 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7.
Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
That means Jesus Christ sacrificed his life, gave his life, and that was the Passover lamb. You remember what the John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. In the beginning they did the sacrifice for their tribes or Israeli people. But when Jesus Christ came, he came for the whole world. And when he died on the cross of Calvary, he washed away the whole world's sin when they received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now God says, your sacrifice I don't like. I don't even delight in the sacrifice smell or anything like that. That looks like a pig sacrifice. That looks like a dog sacrifice. I don't want that. Why? Because Jesus Christ has already gave his sacrifice. A millennium kingdom, there won't be any sacrifice, and there won't sacrifice needed, because God is already satisfied. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, please read.
And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor.
See, Jesus Christ gave the sacrifice to God, and that sacrifice was sweet-smelling savor. That means when God saw Jesus Christ, his son, gave his life for mankind, God says, I am satisfied. So he doesn't need any more sacrifice. You spend $100 for the food and you're satisfied. You're not looking for any hot dog or Burger King or something like that. So that's the way the word of God is saying. God is satisfied. Jesus Christ shed his blood for the mankind. Now there is no other blood needed. There is no other sacrifice needed. That's why I was telling last week, when you go to the millennium, even though there is a millennium temple, many people are confused, but there won't be any sacrifice and there won't be any blood of bulls and goats, because Jesus Christ already gave his life as a sacrifice and God is satisfied. And so we are already washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't need any other sacrifice. Go back to book of Isaiah chapter 1 verse 12.
When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood.
God is saying, all the blood sacrifice, or all your offerings, or even your prayers, you start praying, spread your hands and start praying to God and crying and weeping and thinking that more you cry, God will listen. He said, no, I will not listen to your prayers. And that's why so many people say, God is not listening to our prayer. But the word of God is saying, God wants obedience. God wants your heart. God wants your dedication. When you do like that, God says, before you could pray, I will answer you. You don't have to fast and pray. You don't have to bang your head. You don't have to cry and cry to God. God says something wrong with you. Book of Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, if you read, he says, why am I not listening? Because your sin has come between you and me. There is a wall, a partition becomes when you commit sin. Please read.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear.
Isaiah 59 only gives you an answer. But here he says, I'm not going to answer you. You can pray day and night. You can bring sacrifice. Do anything you want to do to please me. I am not going to listen. Because you are sinning, going against me, you are going backward, you are backslidden, and you are not repenting, so I do not want to hear your prayer. Book of Isaiah chapter 1 verse 16.
Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow.
Now these are the things he's telling, do some good things. Cleanse yourself, don't do evil. And many people are teaching this in many churches. Not a single church will tell you to commit sin. But people are not changing. Why? Because they don't tell them how you can overcome these things. How can we overcome sinful life? Because people are thinking, I do not want to smoke, but I'm keep on smoking. I don't want to drink, but I'm keep on drinking. I don't want to commit any bad sin, but I'm doing it. And I'm bound to this. Why I'm doing this? And they're struggling. Why is this? Because, first of all, in the Christian life, start with Christ. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in your heart, and you ask forgiveness of your sins, then Jesus Christ becomes Lord of your life. When Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, he controls your life. You don't have a desire to sin. Why? Because Jesus Christ is King in your life. He is the Lord of your life. That's why you say, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior. When he becomes your Savior and Lord, he will give you supernatural power to say no to sin. You don't have to struggle. People are struggling. I said, don't struggle. Just receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and your life will be transformed. And some people say, oh, but I failed. If you fail, you come to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. So only thing is repentance. And ask God forgiveness and start your life all over. Okay, verse 17.
Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool.
He says, listen, you are struggling. I told you to keep your life clean and help somebody and widows and do good things. But you cannot do it? Come here. Let me tell you why you cannot do it. I told you a few minutes ago. You cannot live a clean and holy life by your own. You need Jesus. You need Christ, Savior, living in you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God in your heart. Then you have powerhouse. You cannot commit sin. He says, come, let us reason. Let me ask you, what is bothering you? Why you cannot live a clean and holy life? Then you go and tell, just like a lawyer, you take a lawyer and say, listen, this is my problem and you have to help me. Then you sit with the lawyer and tell all the problems, all the sin you committed, all the bad things you committed. Tell the lawyer and he will take note of it and he will defend you. Same way Jesus is our lawyer. He is our mediator. As you go and tell the lawyer truth, he can defend you. But you lie to lawyer cannot defend you because you lie to him. And he doesn't know how to defend you. Same way God is saying, come, talk to me. What's your problem? Where is your weakness? How cannot you live a clean and holy life? What is missing? You're going astray. What's bothering you? I want to help you. Why are you struggling? And when you sit with God and say, Lord, this is my weakness. So that's why God says, come and reason with me. You have some problem and you don't know what's going on. You come and sit with God and say, hey, Jesus, here is your chair. And you sit and talk to him. Talk to him like a friend. You remember today we were singing, what a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus is your real friend. You don't have to be afraid. People are afraid of God. Our God is not a scary God. Our God is love. So when you come to God and tell your problems, he has the solution. He says simply what you have to do, you confess your sins, come to me, and I will forgive your sins. Read the 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, please.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Only God has the cleansing power. There is no soap, no detergent. Nothing can cleanse your sin. Only blood of Jesus Christ. So the word of God says, come to me. Open your heart. Ask forgiveness. Don't hide anything. Just tell me everything and what kind of sin you have committed. I will forgive you. So you don't run away from God. You run to God. And God is so gracious. And so he will forgive you. Verse 19. Isaiah 1:19.
If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land.
See, if you are obedient and listen to me, you will eat good of the land. Why people are suffering? Why people do not have job? Why people have job but do not have bank balance? Why people are suffering? Because they are not loving God. They are not obeying God. They are not doing everything according to the will of God. The person who does the will of God, God says, you know what? I will bless you. I will prosper you. When you see people of God prospering, then you see something is happening in this person's life. Why he's so flourishing? Why he's so happy? Why he's so joyful? Why he well-dressed? What is the secret? Because that person loves God, obeys God. God supplies their need. Obey me. I will prosper you. And I will supply all your needs and let the people see. He said, delight in the Lord and he will give desires of your heart and your life will shine like a noonday. People will notice. Verse 20. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 20.
But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. How has the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Thy silver has become dross, thy wine mixed with water.
He's saying, remember when the King Solomon or King David was there, there was a righteousness in the city or in our country. People were coming from far away to see the wisdom of Solomon. And God's blessing was there, but now your blessing is gone. And your silver and gold become like a dirt. and your wine become like a mixed water. Nobody like to taste it. Means your life is miserable and your wealth is gone. Okay, verse 23.
Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, Ah, I will ease me of mine adversaries, and avenge me of mine enemies. And I will turn my hand upon thee, and purely purge away thy dross, and take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city.
God is still giving a chance. Like our God is a God of second chance. You do something wrong, but if you come to God, God says, I will restore you the way you were in the beginning. He's talking to the children of Israel. They came from Egypt, and God blessed them so much. Their enemies were defeated, and they got lots of prosperity. But because of sin, everything is gone. The enemies start coming and stealing. Enemies start coming and burning their cities. Enemies start coming and taking their position and silver and gold. But now he says, if you really listen to me and obey me, you will still be prosperous. Verse 26.
And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness.
He says, in Zion, means in Jerusalem, there will be temple. And God says, I am going to bring the righteousness back. And many people around the world, they will see our God is ruling again. And many people will come to Jerusalem. Now he is talking about the millennium. This is not happening right now, but the time of millennium, God is going to restore the righteousness back in that city. Verse 28.
And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed.
Now he says, you will be blessed, but your enemy will be destroyed. They will be consumed with the fire. We learn even the Satan goes and brings the Gog and Magog and all the world's people to destroy the children of Israel, because they saw there is no wall, people are living in peacefully, let's go and destroy them. But the word of God says the fire will come from above and consume them. Let's read the Revelation chapter 20, verse 8 and 9.
And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them.
The fire came from heaven and consumed them, destroyed them. Our God is a good God. Our God is love. And the word of God says our God is consuming fire. Read the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 29.
For our God is a consuming fire.
Our God is consuming fire. Okay, let's go back and finish this chapter. Isaiah chapter 1, 29.
For they shall be ashamed of the oaks which ye have desired, and ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen. For ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. And the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as a spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them.
If you godly, God will bless. If you're sinful, you will be destroyed. But God is giving these children of Israel hope that the time is coming. If you repent, if you come to me, if you start living for me, I will bless you, and the whole world is going to see what God is doing. Okay, here the chapter finishes, and we are going to chapter 2, verse 1.
The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.
God is saying the time is coming that you will be living peacefully in Zion, or peacefully in Jerusalem. And they will be temple of God. The people will be coming to hear the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 12, he says, greater than Solomon is here. That means he was trying to say, for the Solomon, the queen of Sheba, came to listen to his wisdom. But the Jesus Christ wisdom is greater than anybody else. There is not a single smart person like Jesus. He is the Son of God, and he is God himself. So the people will be coming to worship Jesus Christ, to listen to Jesus Christ. The knowledge of God will be given in Zion. So people will be flocking from coming from different countries to listen to the word of God. They didn't say they will bring the sacrifice of bull or goats and things like that. They will come to worship. They will come to listen. And the people of God will be happy because God will be ruling, and people will coming from all over the world will be not even learning war. All the war equipment, they will turning to the farm equipment. The time will come, the people will not learning the war. But it's not going to happen today. It's going to happen in a millennium. And the word of God says when the Antichrist and false prophets will be destroyed in the lake of fire, Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, and the peaceful kingdom starts. In that peaceful kingdom, the word of God says, nobody is going to learn the war. That means there won't be army, there won't be navy, there won't be any soldiers, there won't be anyone, not in Israel, not in anywhere in the world. He says, nations will not learn any more war. Means whole world. There won't be any police officer, there won't be any army officer, and there won't be any nuclear bomb or any bomb. So the point I'm making, time is coming. Now people are fighting. People are trying to get somebody's land, and people are fighting for the land. Israeli land is very small, but they want their land. Saudi Arabia and all these Muslim people have vast land and all this desert. They are not giving anything. They are not giving any citizenship. But Israeli people, allowing Muslim people to come to their land, become citizen and live peaceably, but they want a land. God does not want these Muslim people to take their land. One day, Israeli people will be having their headquarters in Jerusalem, and then all other people will be trying to think, hey, let's destroy Israel because they are the enemy of the whole world. And that will be the time of last battle of Armageddon. But the word of God says God is going to destroy all the enemies, and then there will be millennium. So this is the chapter is talking about a millennium in 1,000-year reign. There won't be any fighting, there won't be any war, and nobody doing any war. Isaiah 2:5.
O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves and the children of strangers.
He says, Israeli people, come and walk in the light. What Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. Jesus Christ will be light of the world. Jesus Christ will be teaching Israeli people. They have to listen to him. God says, come, come in my light. Why are you living in darkness? When you say kingdom of Satan is the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of Jesus Christ is the kingdom of light. So word of God says Jesus Christ has brought us from out of the darkness and brought us into the marvelous light, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So we are the children of light. So we should be producing light. Let the people see Jesus in us. But what's happening? We are becoming like other people. That's what the darkness is all about. But once we have Jesus Christ, we are going to reflect the light of Jesus Christ. We are going to reflect the life of Jesus Christ. Let the people see Jesus in us. Verse 7.
Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, and neither is there any end of their chariots.
Now here it is saying, you have lots of silver, you have lots of gold, you have lots of treasure, you have lots of horses, you have lots of chariots. What happens? When you have lots of money, money becomes your God. People thinking, oh, I have everything. Nobody's like me. Because pride comes. That's why he says, instead of depending on God, you are depending on your silver, your gold, your horses, and your chariots. People are not trusting in God. They are trusting in their finances. They are trusting in their money. They are trusting in their wealth. But if you depend on God, God will prosper you. Okay, verse 8.
Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made.
See, here it's saying, you have silver, you have gold, you have lots of treasure. What are you doing? You got so much silver and gold, we don't know what to do. So you start making silver and gold idols. And you not buying, but you making your own. You got your own factory going on and making idols. And not only making and selling, you are worshipping your own idols. That's what the problem is. Mind became corrupted. Instead of worshipping God, now you worship silver and gold. And finally, you start worshipping the idols made by silver and gold. See how people keep on drifting away, away, away from God. That's where the problem comes. Verse 9.
And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock, and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pictures. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day.
Okay, now here, all these scriptures we read, so much pride came because of money, because of wealth, because of going away from God and worshipping idols. Their mind became like a mind of devil. So much big business going on. The Tarshish ships are coming. We are gaining so much gold, and we are gaining so much silver, and we are getting so much rich, and we are getting so much famous. But he says, everything what is puffed up, I'm going to bring down. Down not only on earth, but down to the hell. All the pride goes down. The word of God says, the first pride person was what? Lucifer. He was proud, his pride came down, and he is going to go to the hellfire. So when the sin comes, and they forget God, and they destroy themselves, that's what is going to happen. He says, all the pride will going to go down, and they will be destroyed. And they will be destroyed because, verse 18, all the idol worship. Please read.
And the idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth.
You are worshipping the idols. You give up on God, and you think that the idols will help you. He said, the time is coming. I am going to destroy all your idols. God knows how to destroy. If somebody is so wealthy, God can make him poor in one day. You go after idols. You go after demonic things. You go after the evil things. They are going to destroy you. God is looking at your heart. God wants obedience. God wants humbleness. God wants completely transformed heart. But if he starts doing like that, he says, all you have will be abolished, will be destroyed. Verse 19.
And they shall go into the holds of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth.
The word of God says, when the people of the world, if they don't live life pleasing to God, one day will come. That day nobody will save you. The word of God says here is saying they will be running to the rocks and says, fall on us or try to hide us. But no rock, no clip of the rock, no one will be trying to help that person from the wrath of God. Go to the book of Revelation chapter 6, verses 15 to 17.
And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?
Who are these people? Rich, mighty men, so much famous people, but never committed their life to God, never repented of their sins, and there are nobody has power to do any wrong to us. But the time of judgment, they will be saying to the rocks and the hills, fall on us, we cannot stand before the judgment of God. So the God is giving us chance. This is the time to repent and put it right with God. Otherwise, the word of God says, not only he is going to shake the man, he can shake all the buildings and all the mountains and all the rocks and everything. In the Revelation chapter 16, verse 20 and 21.
And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great.
All the mountains can disappear. All the islands can disappear. And nobody can stand before God. And God start pouring the hail and the fire, rock up, ice rock. Nobody will be able to stand before God. That's what the word of God says. It is difficult to fall in the angry hand of God. Our God is what? Consuming fire. We just read it a few minutes ago. This is the end timing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 to 9.
Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anybody troubling you, anybody bothering you, and you cannot do anything to them, God is going to take the revenge of your enemy. You don't have to worry. God is going to destroy them. Verse 9.
Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day.
So we are godly people. God will protect us. But if the people who are not listening to him, going astray, doing wrong thing, doesn't matter how much money they have, doesn't matter how much fame they have, doesn't matter how much power they have, they will running for their life, and nobody will save them, nobody will protect them, and their destruction is coming. Okay, let's go back to the Isaiah chapter 2, and a couple of verses, we're going to finish it. Verses 20. 22.
In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made, each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of?
God is saying, oh man, you thinking you are so powerful, but only one breath away. When we stop breathing, all the powers and all the money and everything, he says, vanishing away. But the word of God says, you are just a breath away. You have no power. When God is against you, nobody can help you. Our God is a consuming fire. The word of God says, revenge is mine. We just leave it to the God. Don't go after your enemy. Just say, Lord, I give it to them, to you. You watch over me. As long as my life is pleasing in the sight of God, I don't have to worry. You know, the time of Elisha, his servant starts saying, you know what, there are so many armies around us, and they are going to kill us. He said, no. We have more than what they have. And he said, Lord, open his eyes. And he saw so many angels, army, surrounding the Israeli people. What the word of God says, if God is not watching the city, watchman's watching is in vain. If the God is not building the house, the builder's building is in vain. What does it mean? God is in control. We have to leave it in the hand of God. Each and every day, if we live for God, I guarantee you, your life will be much blessed, and much prosperous, and we will be able to help others. The word of God says, you don't have to borrow, you lend. You give to people. And that's what the Christian life is all about. But if you say, me, mine, you're gone. Because God says, I don't care how much money you have, how much treasure you have, how much idol you have. So the point I'm making, why are we spending millions of dollars and putting in the jewelry? Here the people are dying without food and without God's word. We have to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's what the money should be spent. Not making gold and silver. Your gold and your silver and your gold idols and everything, I will destroy. So once you have belonged to God and you love God, and God will make you his vessel, and he will make you shine, and the whole world will see the glory of God in you. Our God has given us everything. Each and every person is beautiful in the eyes of God. Do you know how many snowflakes comes? Billions of snowflakes, trillions of snowflakes, but you take each and every snowflake is different. How God made us. Each and every person is different, but when we are in God, we are beautiful. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. In this world, we did not bring anything. Out of this world, we cannot take anything. But when we have Jesus Christ, our God is all-sufficient God. We don't need anything. Your servant says, Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. We are not living in wanting. We are living in prosperity. Our God is a good God. Bless your people, supply their needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.